Creating Space for Love, Practical Tips for Working on Your Marriage, Episode 165. Welcome to the Awaken You podcast, where we break down relationship barriers by awakening your true you. I'm Coach Christine, and the two of us will be doing this work together because this process isn't about changing your partner. It's about discovering who you are so you can awaken you in your marriage. Happy Tuesday, Awaken You in Your Marriage listeners. Thanks for this week's podcast. It goes to a beautiful group of honest couples who were talking openly and honestly about their struggle to fit time into their schedule to do the work of working on their marriage. You know, the things, working on conflict resolution, like coming back after an argument to figure out what happened and to resolve it, learning how to communicate better, taking care of themselves so that they would have the capacity to put 100% in during the time that they do work on these things, remembering to turn towards instead of your old ways, which might be just to keep doing what you're doing because, hey, we're busy when your spouse shares a bid for a connection. Greeting each other at the end of the day with more than a, hey, how are ya? Got things to do. As I wrote those things, and obviously that is a short list of things that we want to work on in our marriage, it seems like a lot, right? If we were to say, I need to work on all of these things, it would be too much. It is really picking one thing to decide to work on. For, you know, maybe it's 3 months this quarter. We're at the beginning of the second quarter. The more you work on individual pieces, they start to become part of what you do. And just like the good old changing the way you eat or getting a workout routine that is just part of your day, it's all the same. Today, let's talk about some of the things that do get in the way of making time to work on our marriages. And then I'll share some practical tips to help you begin the habit of working on your marriage and some that don't even involve your spouse. While I'm actually thinking about it, as it crossed my mind while I kind of said that brief intro, one thing that I didn't write down that does get in our way is society. Society gives us this impression that when we find that right person, we shouldn't need to work on our marriage. It should just be all rainbows and daisies. And though it's not explicitly said, like, hey, you find your person and it's just easy going the rest of your life, it is the impression that we get. Nobody talks about this stuff. So just be aware that that is like the water that we swim in. And it's okay. We get to bust that myth. Other things that get in the way is the B word. The word that I gave up years ago. You all know that I took out the word busy from my schedule. And it's so funny that I seriously do notice when people say that they're too busy. And if I actually happen to say it, it feels awkward because I just don't say it anymore. And then I end up correcting myself instead of saying that I was too busy. I will say that I just didn't make time for it, which is more of the truth, right? We make time for what we think is important, for what feels good in the moment. So the too busy is bullshit. And I know I don't swear on this podcast that much, but it's just really how I feel. I actually wrote in my notes baloney, but it's bullshit. It is made up by a society that prides itself in filling up every nook and cranny of our lives like it is a medal of honor. And I just want to say it is not. It is wearing us down. That good old, the one who does the most things with the least amount of sleep wins scam is a scam. It is not the truth. It's just killing us, making us very, very sick. Sure, there are plenty of things to choose from. We all know that. And that's the point. Choose wisely. If you want to build a thriving marriage from one that is getting choked out, you'll have to choose it. You have to choose your marriage. You have to choose your spouse. You have to choose you. And that leads to the second thing that gets in the way, which is lack of prioritization. Self-explanatory. If you don't think that you need to prioritize your marriage, if you think that you shouldn't have to work on your marriage for it to be good, well, then this is going to lead to neglect in your marriage. You wouldn't do that with your child. You wouldn't do that with your job. And you know that anything that you do that with besides your marriage, which, hello, why don't we think that? But we know that if we do that in any other area of our life, it leads to neglect. If we choose to not work out and eat whatever we want, our body pays for it, right? The third thing that gets in the way is communication, or the lack of. And this is why I have been talking about how to communicate well. Go back to the last three episodes if you want to learn more about how to start sharing more in your marriage. The fourth thing that gets in the way is stress and exhaustion. It's a real problem in our society. These long hours that are prized and often needed to make ends meet. Both parents needing to work to make ends meet. But what is the cost of all of this? If you're just too exhausted to put an hour in per week, an hour into your marriage, 15 minutes a day, then it really is going to cost you. The fifth thing that gets in the way, resentment and unresolved conflict. And this is the big kahuna of what gets in the way for my clients, because they have stacked up and stacked up years of resentment in unresolved conflict. They have a backlog of these things that it feels like a big assignment to tackle. It's a little overwhelming. It feels like maybe I should just start over somewhere else. It's the battle of staying in that miserable state that you're in, or getting your hands dirty and starting the process of making small changes that add up to big changes over time, right? If you're planning on staying with the one that you're with, you have a lot of time, God willing, you have a lot of time to keep making it better. So if you start now, you'll have so much more time where you feel better. The sixth thing that gets in the way is it's awkward to start doing something that you haven't been doing. So you put it off. It feels difficult. It feels uncomfortable, right? These are all coming from my past. They're all things, and of course, from my clients, the things that they talk about. The seventh thing is you're not sure how your spouse will react, right? That good old fear of reaction, or that, like, why are you doing this? Why are you trying to connect with me? Another thing is those self-defeating thoughts that it's no use. I don't deserve anything better. I deserve a bad marriage. Another thing, waiting for them to do something different instead of initiating what you want. Being the love leader. And lastly, thinking things will just get better. But if you always do what you've always done, you'll continue to get what you've always got. We already know that. So stop pretending that things will get better when you retire, or when the kids leave, or when the kids go to school. It's always going to be something else. Now that you all see some of the things that are in our way, let's talk about how to get started with changing the dynamic that you created. Of course, I believe the very first place to start is with yourself, especially if your spouse isn't interested in joining. I'm going to share something with you right now that feels a bit close to me. Hopefully I won't get all teary-eyed when I talk about it, but right now, so there was a place that like God opened up for me during this time when I didn't know where our marriage was going, and I chose to be like, okay, I am going to stop trying to make everything work, and I am going to start working on myself and looking at why this isn't working for me, why my life is the way it is. And at this time, God opened up this place for me to go away to relax, to really find myself again. Gosh, that was 8 years ago, I think. Now that place has not been available to me for the last couple of years. And now it is going up for sale. It really makes me sad because, we are looking at what we could do to purchase this place. But it makes me sad because this was the place that I spent a lot of time just searching and being with myself and deciding who I wanted to be, what I wanted to do about this relationship, what I wanted to do with my future. Marriage in of itself is a tool that forces us to grow. And if we aren't doing that ourselves, like if we're not working on ourselves and improving the way we show up in our marriage, we really cannot expect our spouse to do so. This is where I talk about that love leadership, one where you do the work of starting to better understand yourself, why you do what you do, figuring out what you want out of your life and getting to the work of building that. You'll change and your change will influence the way your spouse shows up, and your change will also have them curious about what you're doing. And if you've discovered that you've lost yourself inside of your marriage, you will want to recreate yourself, discover who you are and what that looks like. It's a beautiful process that your spouse will appreciate. Those of you who have sort of, you know, got married, found the house, built the house, created the house, had the children, had the pets, inside of that, you come out and oftentimes you're a bit lost as to who you are. You've been these certain sorts of people based on who you needed to be, like the mom or the contractor. Coming through that, you have to redefine who you are, who you want to be, what you want to create as you move forward. The next thing is you need to learn how to take care of yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually. You want to get yourself in a good wellness routine, which includes eating, exercise, and sleep. You want to work on the mental aspect, which is what I was just talking about, including cleaning up your relationship with your past, unraveling those resentments and any other behavior that keeps you from letting your true self really thrive, and then spiritually discovering who you are and what your guiding force is and where it's taking you. And then as you do this work, you can start creating a new communication pattern with your spouse by sharing the work that you're doing, sharing what you're discovering. And when you share, you will learn how to ask good questions that help your spouse open up so that they can get to know you better. And as you do this, you will create connection. This connection, of course, leads to intimacy and a desire to open up even more be more vulnerable. And eventually, you can start sharing how you desire to create something different in your marriage. You can express how you feel about where the two of you have come, where you are right now, and how you might together start the work of rebuilding and creating something brand new. And then be intentional about setting some time aside for just the two of you. I think that this can seem more simple than it really is for some couples. It took me a long time before I could get Jeff to sit down and talk about things in our marriage. And who am I kidding? It's often still a struggle. And what I have been, again, just realizing is often the struggle is inside of me. Like, I want to talk about this or that. And like, when am I going to do that? How am I going to start this conversation? All the things my little brain tells me. And then find books to read together. Start on your own. Start reading books on your own. But you can also down the road start doing that together, especially those books that provide exercises for the two of you to do together, or going to marriage conferences, joining marriage groups. And I think the one that moves you along the fastest, of course, is finding a professional coach or therapist, a marriage therapist, to join you in the process. Someone who can see the dance that the two of you are doing and help you stop stepping on each other's toes. Lastly, be patient. Change happens over time, and the more you work on yourself and then creating time for your marriage, putting it on the calendar, making a date with your partner, and sticking to what you said you were going to do, which is to have conversations that you have always wanted to have. Then these changes you make will have you feeling different about each other and wanting to spend more time together. You'll start understanding each other better, and you'll be more willing to compensate for each other's ways of being. The other day, I was just talking about this with a couple that I am working with, and they were talking about an argument. And as they were explaining it, what I was thinking in my mind was that with this same situation that they were describing, had this happened like early on in their marriage, maybe when they were in love with each other, she would have seen this situation differently through different lenses. But now that they are in this state in their marriage where they're a little frustrated, they don't feel really like they're in love, they love each other, but they're not in love, the same situation is seen differently. And so what I am saying is when you are both making time for your marriage, when you are actually putting time aside, not to just go have a dinner and talk about surface level BS, not that surface level conversations are bad, but when you're actually talking about really meaty things like your future, like the money that you have and how you're going to use it and what your dreams are. When you start doing the work of working on your marriage, you start seeing things differently. So let me ask you this. Does it make it easier for you to think about getting started when you think about starting with yourself? Or does that feel unfair? I hope it feels empowering because it really is. I share examples about me because like I live with me and I know how to share this. But when I started working on myself, it was a relief and a curse at the same time. A relief because yes, I was finally opening these doors that I had closed that I was afraid to go into. But at the same time, I was looking at Jeff like he was Mr. Perfect, right? He didn't need to do any work, which was bullshit again. But these are the stories we tell ourselves, or at least the stories I tell myself. But the more I worked and the more I worked on it, when I look back now, I am so grateful. I am so grateful that I took time to go to that cabin. I don't know what today would look like had I not had that opportunity. Maybe our marriage wouldn't be where it is today. Who knows? But I'm so glad that I did it. And I really, really want to share that with you because I want you to take the time to start working on you. Irregardless of where your marriage is at and how you want it to feel different, until you start learning how to love yourself and then really realizing that you deserve a better marriage and that you are going to be the one to step up to the work of creating that, you have to start with you, right? You choosing to work on you means that you'll be learning how to create a life that feels amazing to you. It means that you'll have a jump start on leading yourself to where you want to be in your life. And it means that if your spouse is willing to join you, you will be closer to more intimacy and more connection in all of the areas of your life. What I want you to know is that all you need to do is take small steps every day. Do I say that too much? And one of those small steps could be downloading my love list method, which is a free resource that I created for this exact process. With this resource, you are going to work on reevaluating how you're looking at your marriage. And with this method, it will help you develop the mindset to start the work of prioritizing your marriage. Download it today. Make that the first step towards making time for your marriage. Check the show notes for the link or reach out to me on Instagram or via email, and I will send it directly to you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Awaken You in Your Marriage. Your feedback really, really does matter. Please, please rate and review the podcast to guide others seeking solace in their relationships. And until next week, may your heart stay open, your spirits resilient, and your love know no bounds. I love you all. Ciao. Thank you for listening to the Awaken You podcast. If you enjoyed listening, then you have to go check out Awaken You, my one-on-one coaching program where we take all of this material and we apply it to your life, we study it, and we take it to your next level so that you can awaken you in your marriage. For any questions, comments, or coaching issues you'd like to hear on the podcast, please visit me on my website, and together, let's awaken you.